investigation groups all over the world are looking for answers, we all clamor at the chance to get even the tiniest peek at who or what is on the other side. CPR, or Cooperative for Paranormal Research, is one of these groups. We are dedicated to finding the answers, dedicated to finding evidence of the paranormal, and dedicated to proving that some places are
truly haunted.
Wow, I keep shaking this ball, and all I get is the number 8. Where's the snow? I told my psychic I wanted to know if I was going to win the lottery, and she asked me for the numbers. The death card keeps showing up in this deck. Maybe I should get a reflector on my scooter. I keep dreaming about frogs leaping into my bed. This book says I'm just horny. Having a bad day at the Wheel of Fortune? Karma Cast has answers. Check out karmakast.com for show listings and times. KarmaCast.com is a division of Mayhem Media.
Thank you.
Radio and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirit. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited because now she can listen to shows like Night Watch with Todd Sheets, Caps Paranormal Radio with David and Tom, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Leinster Paranormal Radio Show with Danny and Cormac, and the Ghost Divas Live. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny and tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
Hey, we're back to Ghostly Talk, sponsored by Joey's Exoplasm Cleaners. You barf it, we scarf it.
Although Miriam Delicato has no formal education or degrees, her intelligence and intellect imply otherwise. Contact began with her at birth and is ongoing. Miriam feels she has been groomed for her role in this cosmic event as a messenger for aliens. They have been her education and teachers in this life. She feels that every day...
I'm freezing.
Whoa, hello? What was that?
I'm not sure.
Well, anyway, she feels that every day of life on this planet is a great gift to be cherished, honored, and respected. And I can't agree with that anymore. Her website is www.alienbluestar.com, and I'd like to welcome Miriam Delicato to the show. How are you doing, Miriam?
I'm doing excellent. Just came back from the UFO Congress conference in Laughlin, Nevada, so I've had a wonderful day.
You had a busy day because now you're on this show tonight.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I got to ask you, there has been a lot of buzz about this particular conference you were at, and we've been talking to a few people from that conference. How did that go? How was the weekend? I mean, just a quick overlap, if you mind, on how everything went for the weekend.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've been there a number of years in the past, and of course this time I spoke for the first time. But still, the buzz that was happening, there was all sorts of mainstream media that showed up, and quite a few more people registered than normal. But the most amazing part of this year's conference was that many of the speakers and the people that joined in were really networking in a way that I've never seen happen before. Everyone working together, trying to say, okay, what can I do for you? What contacts can we make together in order to really get this message out to the world? It was fantastic.
Well, when it comes to UFO research, you know, we've been talking a lot more about it on the show this year, especially. And I think that's for good reason because, you know, obviously Ghostly Talk, the name of the show, kind of says it all. But there's a lot more, obviously, to the paranormal than just ghosts and stuff like that. UFOs are a big part of it also. And a lot of people we've talked to here since the beginning of 2009 have really brought out some interesting ideas on the UFO phenomena, different ideas, different theories and whatnot. But I think there's a lot of solid... You know, I hate to keep yanking the chain on this for all of our listeners out there, but just, you know, late last year, myself, my girlfriend, and my friend Tom saw something ourselves for the first time in our lives. Can't explain it. I'll never be able to explain it, but I will go to my grave saying that it was something that it wasn't an airplane. It didn't behave like an airplane or anything like that. I can't explain it, and it just blows me away. So it really sparked my interest, especially in this, and more people seem to be coming out, and I think it's great. Yeah, they have these huge conferences like this where people can network, and they're using them to their fullest potential, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's actually an interesting time that we're moving into regarding this because, you know, I've had contact all of my life, but it was in 1988 when I had a major event take place where I had physical contact with these tall, blonde extraterrestrials that really brought about this understanding that I have of who they are and where they come from, at least, a little bit.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating is that I was told 20 years ago that we would be moving into a time when there was going to be more sightings, there were going to be more people interested, there were going to be not only, and this ties into maybe Ghost Talk Radio, where not only would there be more sightings of crafts and things, but also a much more deeply spiritual happening and a lot more manifestations of things, a lot more people seeing paranormal events in every form. And they actually did tell me that this was coming 20 years ago, which makes it things really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, it seems, and that's where, the more we go into this topic of UFOs and extraterrestrials and things like that, the more I hear about the more spiritual side of it, too, Miriam, where these aren't just like, you know, the media always slants everything. We know that. You know, there are these little things, these little creatures that run out of these spaceships, and they have all this technology, and everything is, you know, straight lines, and it's all science to them. But it seems like there's a much softer side to this too, a much more intangible side also that I've been hearing about, that there is a greater reason that they're making these visits to this planet. It isn't just to scare us or do research or do whatever that a lot of people, these you know, like conspiracy theories you hear about. There are other reasons. Can we get into some of these reasons, possibly?
Oh, my gosh. I just love it when people ask me this question. It just makes my heart sing, I'm telling you.
Okay.
20 years ago, you know, just to give a sort of a complete overview of this. 20 years ago, when I had these experiences and I said the words to someone, I said, listen, I saw aliens. They would look at me, and I actually remember people looking at me and saying, what are aliens? So that's how far removed they were from this whole subject matter 20 years ago in the public.
Okay.
Fast forward to today, and what is great is that I've waited 20 years for people to truly understand that really these contacts are not about the technological side, and that what has happened is there's such a deep, meaningful, spiritual movement that is happening. And it actually always has been. But because we are, you know, human and we're trying to rationalize things, we've been boxing them up and putting them into little categories. And then, you know, as you said, conspiracy theorists have these really dark agendas that are happening. And there's a lot of confusion regarding this subject matter. But when it comes to the more spiritual side, because of the experiences that I've had, I can say from experience that these beings are remarkably knowing and loving and the most compassionate, caring. You know, when people might say you've had a God-like experience where you feel an overwhelming love that enters into you. People have had near-death experiences, for example. It's that kind of an emanation that comes from them. And so it is inevitable that people who have contacts with them become more spiritually aware of all aspects of life, whether it's you're talking about religion, society, the growth of society, how we're changing emotionally and spiritually. And, you know, this particular phenomenon is touching every corner of the earth because we are looking out, you know, and in every area of life we're seeing little alien soup spoons and it's on TV and cartoons and all this kind of thing.
Yep.
It's changing us and our attitudes. It's changing us to realize that we need to take responsibility for ourselves. So there's a real movement happening all over the world right now with people that are part of this phenomenon.
Well, maybe, okay, you just said something really interesting as far as we need to take responsibility for ourselves. Now, I'm going to be the first radio show host in history to link something so huge like spiritualism and UFOs to the housing crisis we have right now, okay? Because it ties in, I think, because I think it may be a good learning experience for some people that, look, now you have put yourself in such a horrible position that your life could be ruined as a result of this financially or whatever it may be. You need to take responsibility for yourself and handle things a little differently down the road. That's a very small example, I think, in the macrocosm of things. But I think it does tie in with what's going on today, though, and maybe the bigger picture of these visits we're getting.
That, you know, you can be my great, you know, radio host anytime because that's a fantastic analogy. That's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Because it is. And what is happening right now is that, you know, if you ask anyone in life, anyone around you almost, including yourself, and I'm not asking you to answer this on air.
No problem.
I'm putting it out there for...
Okay. My life's an open book, Marianne. Go nuts on me. Go ahead. Throw it at me. Let's do it.
All right. The real question to ask people is, are you happy? Because you will find that, for the most part, people are not truly happy. And part of the reason for that is because we are working so hard to try and hold on to this existence that we have. We're trying to grab onto so much, and we're really losing the simplicity of life. And by doing so, we are becoming sort of self-destructive and selfish. So the economic crisis that is happening to the world,
mm-hmm.
actually, to me, a beautiful thing. Because it is creating an opportunity for all of us to reflect back on ourselves and say, did I take part in this? How am I responsible? What can I do to help create a better situation here?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're having to try to look at each other with more compassion and understanding as our neighbors and our best friends are losing their jobs, they're losing their homes. And through that, of course, it's a downward spiral. Then how do you feed yourself? Where are you going to live? How
yeah.
are you going to get your job? It really is simple, and yet the consequences of not taking individual responsibility are astronomical.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, what were we going to say?
Well, the ET influence on all of this is just as fascinating because, of course, as I said, 20 years ago they told me all of this was going to be happening. And they said that that many of these events, that there was going to be world, they were going to start fighting over oil, that they were going to start to have food shortages, that there were going to be cataclysms that no one would help. There were going to be the changes of environment. People were in North America, for example, and Europe,
mm-hmm.
would be struggling in order to survive. And that we would have a choice at that point where we would have to decide what kind of a paradigm we wanted to create for the future. So they're really coming with these very strong messages. And the reason that I've come forward right now, as opposed to I could have in the last 20 years, is because I've been instructed that right now is the pinnacle time.
I think right now is the pinnacle time. And I would like to retort to... everything you just said there. I think that the biggest problem. Now, the first thing you asked, Miriam. I don't know if you were asking me directly, but it's a very good question. And I think people, and I've asked myself this question several times: am I happy? And it's such a simple thing to ask somebody,
yeah.
but it garners so many emotions and so many different thought processes that I don't think people truly even know that they're happy, if they even are happy. I think in a lot of situations, most people aren't. They're tied up with
there's
so many things. Yeah.
Unhappy people, if you ask me.
There's
no
a lot.
Hope for humanity.
There are a lot of unhappy people. Yeah, to be blunt, you're right, Keith. I mean, there are so many unhappy people. I think what's happened is that, and I've preached about this before, and listening audience, deal with it, because I'm going to preach again. I think we've gotten pushed to this point as people that our lives revolve around material possessions. You're not going to be happy unless you have that SUV. They've convinced you of this. You've been convinced of this. And I'm not a prophet. I don't know. I go to work. I have to go to work tomorrow morning too, right? But I've heard this so many times. You will not be happy unless you buy this thing or buy that thing. If you don't get this product, your life will be garbage. You won't be cool. You won't be with the cool kids. And we've had these messages slammed into our heads for so many years that we've basically been bought into it. We've been bought off as a race of people, I think. And we can't truly be happy with the way things are. Are you following me so far, Miriam? Am I on the right track here?
I think you're so bang on. I mean, really, this phenomenon, one of the reasons why they come here with these messages, and they have for many, many years. I mean, I'm obviously not the only person, but I seem to have a really good handle on this information that they've given
yeah.
and how it's reflecting back at us, What they're saying is that they can see further than we can into this timeline that we're in.
Yeah.
And if we don't make a change, you know, the planet is basically on a destruction, a path of destruction, period.
Yeah.
And the simplicity of life, they have not said, go back to the Dark Ages and start living in grass huts, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous. But they have said that we need to understand that one of the steps is to really open our hearts. One of the steps is to be compassionate towards other people, that we need to understand that we need to take responsibility for our own food, which means collecting heritage seeds, planting a small garden in whatever way that we can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we need to, you know, we just need to take small steps like this in order to create this new path. You know, we can't, as an individual, make sweeping changes across the world, but we can create a little microcosm, and then through that, we affect the people around us.
Well, what I've always said—I'm sorry, go ahead, Miriam.
What I was going to say is that, you know, what's fascinating to me is to really, when I sit and think about society and the people in my life and the people that I meet, I see this absolute clear division that's going on. And a division whereby half the people are so consumed by, quote, consumerism,
uh-huh,
that they don't have a clue. And they're fighting to keep it. My goodness,
oh,
they're fighting to keep that.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us are saying, wait a minute. And there is a clear divide that is happening. But I'm also seeing that every moment, one of the most fascinating things that I've been able to participate in the last year since I've come out and started speaking is the emails that I receive from around the world from people like myself who have had these contacts and have waited for a number of years, and all of a sudden in the last approximately 2.5 years they all feel as though they're, quote, being activated, and they're being driven to, you know, search for information on all paranormal, all of the paranormal, mm-hmm, all of the, you know, every aspect of life whatsoever that you can research about what's going on the planet on a political level, economic level, everything.
Yeah.
And from that, it's clear that not only people like myself, but others as well, are all of a sudden snapping awake. And they're all of a sudden, it's as though they wake up from this dream that they've been in, and they said, my God, what is it that I'm doing? And they're questioning themselves. These ETs are here to give messages through certain individuals, to just give encouragement,
mm-hmm, well,
a little guidance.
Yeah, well, the thing, and here's where my problem is, I think, Miriam, with this whole thing. I agree with everything you're saying. My issue, I think, is that you mentioned that there is this division of people. There's the people that are so consumed by consumerism, which is one thing, right? I think that's a big part of it, but it's one thing, right? They're so consumed with consumerism, for example. And then there's other people that are like, I'm not dealing with this. I'm not going to sell into this thing. I'm going to do my own thing, right? My problem I have is that when I'm out on the road every day, for example, right? I'm one of those people, I love to judge, I love to stereotype everything. I'm horrible about that, right? And, you know, when I see people, you know, just in passing, I see the giant SUV that comes by me. And now, by no means, you know, we've talked about the planet and the whole scare with that whole thing here before too. But, you know, the giant SUV, the cell phone to the ear, the attitude like, I don't care about anybody else but myself, so I'm going to run you over in my truck. I don't care. I have zero patience for that. Because when I see a person like that, Miriam, I see pure ignorance in front of me. And it just totally grinds me. It just grinds me down, Miriam, right? And I know, and one of the big things you just said was, we need to open our hearts up. We need to have compassion for these people. We need, and more or less, it sounds like we need to help these people find the right way to live, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm just like, you know, I just want to go, and I'm being blunt here, I just want to strangle them. I'm just like, you're totally switched off. What's wrong with you? You know, you need to, what are you doing to yourself? There's other people on this planet besides you. Why don't you, first of all, care about who's around you? You know, it's these little things that I've never taken for granted, for example. And this isn't putting myself on a soapbox or a pedestal. I like opening doors for people. I think it's a cool thing to do for people.
Sure.
Open the door up for somebody. Let them, and you... Just go anywhere. People out there listening, when you go to the mall tonight or you go to the restaurant or wherever it may be, when you're walking out of the place, the person that's walking behind you, hold the door open for them and see what they do. Now, sometimes they won't thank you. It is annoying, right? But the majority of the times I've done it, people have been like, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I will admit there are times when I've opened up the door and no one thanked me for it.
Yeah.
Just simple little things like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's almost like rude.
It hurts your feelings. You're like, look,
why don't you just kick me in the shin?
Yeah, you know, I did something nice for somebody I didn't even know. You know, I'm trying to be friendly and courteous here, and you can't even say thank you, right? And it's just, that's the problem, I think, Miriam, and I know this just in everyday living, too, that, and, you know, there's those commercials out there. I've seen this commercial out there in passing where it shows, like, somebody doing something bad to somebody, and then the person they did something bad to does something bad to somebody else, and they do something bad to somebody else, and it just keeps going from one person to another. You follow what I'm saying, Miriam?
I follow everything that you're saying.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Go ahead. Well, hang on. Miriam, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. What I was going to say, which is I'm sitting here chuckling, and I'm chuckling because I'm telling you, I'm on both sides. I just had a conversation with someone last night at the conference, and I said, you know, one of the saddest things that people have said to me throughout my entire life, and I mean really, listeners, hey, you know, this is a disgusting statement. They've said to me, Miriam, you're too nice. You know, what is that? What that is a true commentary of the state of our society and how much work we all have to do. Now, I agree. I open doors all the time. I help little, you know, an elderly person walking down the street. I mean, I drove down my street one day, saw this woman walking down the street. She was quite a bit older. It was very cold, a little bit raining. She had a walker. I mean, I was horrified. She could barely walk. I knew that she'd taken on too much.
Yeah.
This runner was going past her and just kept going.
Yeah.
Well, I had to go down the block, turn around, came back, parked my car, got out, walked up to her and said, would you like to take my arm and let me carry your bag? How far do you have to go? How rude. But the thing is, if somebody else saw that, I maybe change their perspective on something. Because here's the thing that I have learned, is that I get ticked off at those people too. I get overbearing and want to just, like, you know, reach out and touch someone. I am not always the perfect person.
Yeah.
However, people need one thing. They need, and this is what I've learned, people need the opportunity to be the person that they truly want to be, which is a good person. And in today's society, we've put fear into helping each other. And so if you continue and can continue to be the right person, the person that's true to who you are, then everyone in life will have a doorway to be kind to someone else.
And that is fantastic. I want to talk more about that. We got to take a break here, unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, I think we are totally on the right track right here. And this all ties in. I think people might be going, well, I thought you were going to talk about blonde, blue eye, you know, blonde aliens. We're going to talk about that, I think, too. But I think this stuff all ties in with that directly. I know it does. I'm confident it does.
It does.
So hang tight. Murray, I'm just hanging out for 1 second. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Keith.
We'll be right back here in a second. We're going to go to the paranormal news here with Bonnie Vent.
Ghostly Talk! Is the veil between this world and the next getting thinner? I'm Chris Sloan, inviting you to join in and listen to a new podcast that deals with the paranormal, Parapod, with new guests every week, from paranormal investigators to the people they help. Hear actual EVP. The people that capture.
We go into a case to disprove a haunting.
Three flashlights, actually four counting the lantern, were actually honed in on this thing, and it was swallowing the light up.
Parapod. Log on to myspace.com/ Chris Sloan Radio. That's myspace.com/ CHRISSLONE Radio. The only difference between the believer and the skeptic is time. And your time is now.
This is an EVP. This is an EVP. These were recorded by the Long Island Ghost Hunting Team. Light. To hear more, come listen to Light Paranormal Radio. Go to lightparanormal.com and subscribe to us in iTunes.
No, I heard a woman's voice.
You heard a woman's voice?
Yeah.
What is that?
Sounds like hello.
Welcome to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio. Paranormal News is produced by Genesis Creations Entertainment. I'm your host, Bonnie Vance. Do you need a celebrity to promote your product or service? Planning a big event and want that little extra star power? Want to have lunch or dinner with the cast of Leave It to Beaver? Or dinner and a concert with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits? Then go to Genesis Creations Entertainment at www.genesiscreations.biz and book a celebrity today. Ghost hunters claim chilling finds at Palmyra Museum in New York. Phantom footsteps, whispers, a swaying chandelier, and a piano that played on its own exposed the presence of ghostly spirits residing in two local museums on Market Street. Or so say members of a few ghost hunting teams that recently camped out with some high-tech equipment. Scientific Paranormal Investigations and Finger Lakes area spirit hunters recently shared their findings with a crowd of about 55 people. They played recordings they said captured whispered ghostly responses to questions and faint piano playing. They shared bone-chilling stories of apparitions and chills and breezes that seemed to come from nowhere. A feeling of dread engulfed me, said Rob Henning, co-founder and case manager of Scientific Paranormal Investigations, as he described an encounter he said he had with a young girl in the piano room. Immediately we were blasted with cold, dry air, he said. The general store and attached living quarters is a preserved store that thrived on Erie Canal's commerce and a bustling downtown back from the early 1800s to the 1940s. Some believe its visitors are not just docents and tourists, but also some long-dead members of the Phelps family, including spiritualist and musician Sybil Phelps, who lived above the store and became somewhat of a shut-in in her years before her death in 1976. This weekend in Boston, there was something strange in the neighborhood, and AintItCoolNews.com called on Ghostbuster Dan Aykroyd to answer some pressing questions regarding the third installment to the Ghostbusters series. There has been significant talk recently about a Ghostbusters 3 reality and rumor that the original cast will star. So what did original star Dan Aykroyd say about the picture? Script is commencing early summer, said Aykroyd. Hope to be in production by late fall 2009. While this may not confirm Ghostbusters 3 and Aykroyd's involvement, it definitely shows that the channels are open and the bustin' may commence very, very soon. For more information on these stories, please go to www.sdparanormal.com and the Paranormal News feed page. Don't forget, sign up for a free subscription to Paranormal News. Thanks for joining us today on Paranormal News. If you'd like to sponsor or advertise on Paranormal News, please send us an email at parax.news@aol.com. You can listen to Paranormal News on Ghostly Talk Radio at www.ghostlytalk.com. Please check out their other fine shows. Or you can join us at paranormalnews.mypodcast.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Bonnie Vance.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac from Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. And it's at Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema right now hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's coming to you, and all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Mac, Nightmare Cinema. Bye!
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality, and reality is less than television.
We're talking to Miriam Delicato about all kinds of stuff. Can't really put my finger on any type of topics we've gotten into here, but I think it's all really good and it's all really important. And yes. I got to note that, you know, I want to thank our special guest host, Keith Brewer, in the house tonight.
Oh, you don't have to thank me.
Keith's hanging out with us tonight, helping me out here. He's working moral support here, keeping me...
I'm just the peanut gallery.
He's the peanut gallery. I forgot that we have a co-host here. We actually have a co-host.
No, you don't.
I meant the other co-host that's actually here all the time. You're the new co-host. Doug's actually here. I think we talked on the break, and Doug's like, man, you guys were just hammering back and forth. I couldn't get a word in edgewise, and it made me feel really bad, right? I felt horrible about that. So, Doug, you're here, though, right? You're hanging out, right?
I am indeed. I'm still, you know, still in not sunny anymore Orlando because it's nighttime. But I was listening to the first half hour with Mary, and I was, wow. It was a flood of information because you two were just going at it, really learning about each other, and I was learning along with you. I did have a question, though. One of the things that, Miriam, you had said was there were like five or six different things that you were told, and one of them was, I don't remember exactly the quote because I can't take notes. I'm physically in a car. But it was something like cataclysms that nobody will help or you know, nobody will help with, you know, after a cataclysm. And I was, my mind was racing to think of these kinds of things. But what I've noticed is, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, be mean or put you on the spot or anything. But I was racing through my mind and I'm thinking I keep hearing about these cataclysms like Katrina and there was the tsunami you know, off the coast of India or wherever, and just there was outpourings of support and help and you know, people were collecting canned goods and people were sending toys and it was just an amazing effort. I actually felt when I was looking around, seeing all of the support efforts that you know, we were actually coming closer together as a nation and a planet when it was the tsunami. So I'm thinking, what kinds of cataclysms were they talking about that people will turn a blind eye, or is that in the future?
That's a wonderful question. Thank you so much for asking that. Just to clarify what it is that I was actually saying there, what they said to me was, So I'm going to take you back and give you an image here, okay?
Okay.
I was 22 years old and living a very normal life of a 22-year-old, you know, just moved to the big city, so you can take that and put an image to that.
Mm-hmm.
Going out to, you know, have some drinks and dancing on the weekends, had a job, living a very normal life. And then all of a sudden, you know, one day I'm on the side of this highway and I get pulled over by this craft, basically, and I get taken on board this ship with these tall blonde extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in what I call a light chair because it looked like it was made out of pure energy and light. And out in front of me pops this screen into thin air, which, you know, you can call it a holographic images putting up in front of me. And these different images were put up, and they were giving me information about all of these different aspects of life and different information that they wanted to share with me about what may be coming in the future.
Mm.
And what they imparted to me was that it was like a gift, and it said that we had that there were the possibility of great cataclysms that would be coming to the planet, such things as wars and earth changes, solar flares. And I actually remember an object. It looked like an object that was moving towards Earth. So they said that we have the choice and that we could overcome or stop any of these events if we had the right, basically the right attitude of caring for one another, opening our hearts. And so also we could use our minds in telepathy almost, in mind melding in some form, thinking of the same thought, to be able to change any and all of these events. And first of all, I've learned through my own psychic ability, because I've had premonitions for almost my, you know, adult life. Since I was probably 9-10 years old, I started having extremely strange phenomena happening around me, from ghosts and different entities and things to these premonitions. And I realized that when these things are being told to us, they're not actually a definite and a for sure event. What they are is they're gifts to us to say, if you stay on this path, this will be the result. Now, the way it was explained to me was that there would be possibly cataclysms coming in the future in which we would receive no help. And what I'm talking about is no help from these establishments, not from the people themselves. And that's what I'm talking about. It's the personal responsibility. When these events took place around the Earth, there was more outpouring from individuals than there was from any other, quote, organizations on Earth. So they said that there was a possibility that in the future there could be so many of these things that are happening, so many wars and famine and all of these events, that there wouldn't be possible for them to help. And then, again, you have to revert back to personal responsibility. Will you help your neighbor? Will you help them? And it's a very heavy subject because, I mean, I've seen visions of some of these potentials and possible futures that we may have. But I still think that it was almost clear that really, if you think, again, just to clarify it, with Katrina, for example, who was it that helped? Who was it that helped the most? And it was individual people.
Okay.
So
yes, I think you're right. I'm sorry, I had to go off of mute, but I think you're right that it was. I saw a lot of, you know, individuals stepping up to the plate and doing their part, and I felt more a community of individuals all helping rather than, you know, a bunch of organizations getting together and the government getting to, I mean, they did their, you know, what they needed to do politically.
Well, yeah.
But
yeah.
I felt mostly a community of, like, you know, individuals, all of us just banding together, saying, pouring out our love and our feelings for what has happened to the, you know, the people in these recent cataclysms.
Well, yeah, and I think really that's what it comes down to. I'm sorry, but I got to mention this. I mean, a lot of these organizations, I think, yeah, Doug, you mentioned it. It's the politics, right? I let's be frank here. A lot of these organizations, they're a lot of them are run by corporations, and I'm not going to bag on corporations, but, okay, there is this idea, and I've said it before to you guys out there, a little history, you know, political science lesson to you, enlightened self-interest, okay? Enlightened self-interest means, yeah, we're going to help people out with this thing as long as it makes us look good and as long as it helps us out, right? I think the true power is the power of collaboration, like you're talking about, Miriam, where people really believe in something with their hearts, right? With their hearts, that they're driven by their hearts, not by the pocketbooks or not by any type of gain, whether it be, you know, any type of gain, just maybe the only gain of satisfaction of doing something good to try to help the greater whole. That's where I think it's really at, and this is kind of what you're talking about when it come to these the tsunamis and things like that. People seem to just pull together and say, look, we got to help out here. We're not going to get any help from anybody who's got lots of money in their pocket. We got to do all this on our own. That's where it's at, I think. I think some of the greatest things in history that have been achieved through the power of collaboration by people who just got together and said, let's achieve this task. Let's get out there and try to get this done. Do you guys follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I just wish it happened a little more often.
Yeah, no kidding. Miriam, what were you going to say?
Well, you know, it's fantastic because, I mean, you know, listen, came on the show. I'm a person who's had physical contacts with these extraterrestrials on many occasions. I still have strange phenomena happening to me to this very day. But, you know, these messages that I talk about are really, you know, people will automatically say to me, oh, well, you know, I've heard these things before, and they're very, very simple, and what's the real message here? If you, and I'm only sharing this because, for me, this experience has been profound. And I don't even know what word to use. It is, has had such a deep impact on my life and the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to study me, for example, and say, what exactly happens in this woman's life to cause her to, and people like me, not just me, but people mm-hmm. like me,
yeah.
Who have had these contacts, what is it that has driven me to basically give up everything in my life? I use every free moment I have practically to network with people and give this message. I have a little blog site that I answer questions as much as I possibly can. I answer as many emails as I can. What is it that's driving me to all of this? The fact is that I have had contact with another race of being that has taken the time to come and say, these things are going to happen. Pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the message is that from these other dimensions and from these other planets and from these other this other completely different race of being,
yeah.
For lack of a better word, they are coming to us and saying, you need to change, smarten up. And if that isn't a powerful statement, I don't know what is.
And we keep hearing this. We keep hearing this, Miriam. I mean, other people who have had these experiences, they've had contact, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing a lot of the same things from people. They're like, look, you guys, you only have enough time to get your act together down there. You need to pull together. You know, you need to stop with all the crap you're pulling right now. Bottom line.
Sticking.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the clearest messages that I've been receiving over the course of the last year is, and again, we only have an hour and probably, you know, only a few minutes left, so I'm really condensing here.
Right.
20 years ago, I was taken on board that craft, and I was actually told that I would remember a lot of these things, which is a little bit unique in this field because often people are told that they're going to forget. I was told you're going to remember. People that have these great messages are told to remember them. So I'm taken on board. They give me all of this information to say, okay, this is what's going to be coming. But what they actually told me about, which was so clear, they were talking about something called the Great Gathering. And the Great Gathering was talking to me about the gathering of humanity coming together as one to have the realization, the moment of realization, that you are not alone on this planet, that each individual is part of this collective of humanity. And beyond that, that we must take responsibility not only on the singular, but also planetarily. And that to take it another level, that every single thing that we do here is affecting the rest of the universe and the other dimensions. Because we don't have the capacity to understand the scientific aspects of how we are affecting things when we drop a nuclear bomb or playing with, the Hadron, I don't even know the name of it, but where they're trying to pull apart the particles and then slamming them back together again. They don't even understand the effect they may be having on other dimensions.
Yeah.
So they talk to me about this, what they call the Great Gathering, and it comes down to this. If enough of us, and I mean talking about from the indigenous cultures that have a great deal of knowledge regarding where we've come from, which is in part connected and fully connected to this extraterrestrial beings, to the star people, star beings, star seed, people like myself who have had direct contact, to those who have had indirect, and then the spiritual, and bringing in all these groups together. The problem with what's happening on the it's not really a problem because it's building a foundation, right? But the next level of what needs to take place is that all the different organizations, the ones that are working for peace and for the children and for famine and for housing and for all of these different things, and then you take all these people in ufology that are working for disclosure and band them all together. The housewife that's sitting there and trying to take care of the children and the elderly in her community. Take all of those people who have compassion as their driving force in life to all of a sudden come together and stand as one people and say, enough.
Mm-hmm.
Enough. We are deserving to be happy. We are deserving to have our hearts open and to work together and really send a message to the rest of the people on Earth that we want to change and by the rest of the, quote, organizations that are out there that are not for our best interest.
No.
Is the biggest statement that they have in the past year.
Yeah, and I think that people, it's a given. We all want to be happy, you know, happy out there in whatever choices we make in our life.
My only problem is what about those people out there that simply don't want to be happy and don't want to have
Literally. I mean, I understand the message. I really do, Miriam. But it seems like when you're, you know, it's just a question, too. It isn't negating anything you just said. I think I'm with you on that. I think everybody should go to be happy. But it seems like some people are happy when... And I've met people that... We've met people, Keith. We've known people personally that it seems as if they are not happy unless their life is a wreck. And they're not happy.
They take great care and glee in ruining things.
Yeah, you know, and... I'll never understand that. Is there something miswired there? Do they need to be? Maybe they need to be. You know, maybe they need contact. Maybe if they were contacted directly, they might go, "Oh my God, what have I done with my life? I need to straighten my act up." I mean, do you follow what we're saying, Miriam?
Absolutely. I think that's part of the reason why there's more and more and more and constantly more sightings that are taking place to jolt people to realize that there's something greater going on here. And I look at it this way. I'm going to say I do.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say, you know, I look out at the world and I say, okay, if I allow these different organizations on Earth to tell me how I'm going to live and how I have to live and give me the laws of the land, basically, which we have to follow and we should follow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if I sit back and I say, well, you know, let's see if we can do better here, and I verbalize that and I begin to, you know, just sort of share this idea with others that we do need laws, we do need structures, we do need all of those things. But to say that these people that do thrive on all of this, you know what I say? Let them go. Let them go, and let the rest of us who have this ideology in our hearts to come together as one. Because instead of us having to follow these individuals who are completely unhappy, who have no focus of anything, who are completely devoid of any kind of compassion and understanding towards humanity, why are we standing back and allowing these people to dictate our lives to us when a greater understanding can be put forth and we can become the leaders of this new world? And so we need to stand together. And that's the point.
Exactly. And I think that's what, you know, Doug and I have discussed this. I'm sure Doug will laugh when I say this. And, you know, Keith, and, you know, we've had a lot of conversations, too. And I've said that about people of that caliber. You know, I'm like, look, I've gotten to a point in my life now where I'm really, you know, we have goals. I have goals. I'm trying to reach those things. And a lot of that stuff requires a positive attitude, a positive outlook. You know, I'm not a motivational speaker by any means, okay? My feet are on the ground here, and I know when you got to pull back and go forward. But a lot of people of that caliber that we mentioned, I literally have done that, Miriam. I've said, look, you know what? I've tried with you. And I'm not going to sit here and have you drag me down. It's time for me to go forward. And if you maybe want to catch up someday, more power to you. We'll wait for you here on the back end. But I can't sit here and be drugged down with your attitude and the negative energy that you put out. And it's something I think that's a part of growing for people. I think to really, you got to let go sometimes and go, look, I'm sorry. You know, you're not listening.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you talk about, you know, it's funny that this gets mentioned in the same conversation that we said, hey, look, you have to open your hearts, right? And you have to help your friend. Well, yeah, but how much can you take? How long can you go? And you get to a point, and it's really refreshing to hear that, Miriam, because some people just say, no, you got to keep banging your head against it and banging your head against it, right?
No, you don't.
No.
Because the thing is, the real way to open your heart is to say to an individual, I love you and I am here for you. And that is really all that's necessary. You don't need to, this is not about forcing, because if you start to push your ideas and your ideology and your understanding on someone, then you are actually being harmful to them, because you're not allowing them the freedom of their own path, which is not opening your heart. It's not being compassionate to them. Leaving an open door and saying, I love you, I will do what I can to assist you, is one thing. But also, I mean, if you really want to say it strongly, which
yeah.
I'm going to, you can't allow evil to stab you in the heart.
No,
you have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Let's leave the people behind and say, you know what, we are going to stand here together as one in unity in all of this. We're going to understand that there's a greater picture here, that there are other dimensions and other realities. There are these tall blonde extraterrestrials that have a vested interest in humanity, because they are the caretakers of this earth,
mm-hmm.
and they are the caretakers of us.
So they're responsible in a way for us. So, yeah, they have just as much to lose as we do.
Yes, they do, because they are the caretakers of us and these physical bodies that we come into. And if you believe in God in whatever form, God, Allah, Buddha, reincarnation in heaven, it doesn't matter. If you believe in the Source, the Great Spirit,
yep.
all of us come from one place, and I call it from God. We all come from God and have the spark of God in us. And it's that creation that is trying to be saved here on Earth. So let's not stand back and allow that to be destroyed. Let's, those of us who have the right focus, begin to come together to become one stronger voice, so that we can, even more so than we already have in our smaller groups and our smaller microcosms, start to band together and create a louder voice that will make greater changes more rapidly.
A wonderful message, I have to say, Miriam, and I think that's where it's all about. And I'm speechless when it comes to that. I think that's where it's where it's at. And I think people need to listen to this discussion and really take that to heart about what's going on in the world we live in today. And look at yourself. Look at yourself for a second. I'm not going to preach, but look at yourself for a second. I always cite the MC5 when it comes to stuff like this. You know, I mean, Rob Tyner said it the best. Are you going to be part of the problem, or are you going to be part of the solution? You know, I mean, it couldn't have been said any better from a Detroit punk rock band. You know, I mean, come on.
This is true.
That's the greatest thing ever, you know. Miriam, hang on the line for 1 second. Don't leave us just yet. We have to go to break, though, okay? Just hang tight for 1 second. I do want to thank Miriam for joining us. What a wonderful, wonderful message.
Thank you.
And in discussion we had on that. By the way, giveaway. Hey, we got something to give away here. I almost forgot about this. You guys got Lori there, didn't you?
Put down my lunch.
This EVP CD. It's 8 p.m. Eastern time right now. Start emailing in. First emailer gets the disc. We'll mail it out to you on us. I'll be waiting for your emails ever so patiently. In the meantime, we're going to go to break here, and we're going to be talking after the break to Dr. Fred Allen Wolf from What the Bleep Do We Know? I don't know if you've ever seen this movie or not, Keith.
I have not, but
God. It is the... What was that, Miriam?
I just want to say that is one of the... When I saw the What the Bleep,
yeah.
it was the first time in my life since contact with these ETs that I said, my God, someone finally was able to express what these aliens had shared with me.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful film, and it really makes you think. I agree so much, Miriam. Hang tight for 1 second. I got to take us to break here, guys. This is Ghostly Talk. I am Scott L.
I'm Keith.
And I'm Doug.
Oh, there's Doug. There he is. All right, cool. We'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.